The words of God given to us today is Acts chapter 15, verses 36 to verse 41. It is page 214 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in the Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Amen. After Judah and Silas, who had visited Antioch with the letter that contained the judgment of the First Jerusalem Council, went back, Paul and Barnabas continued to continue to teach the gospel to the Gentiles who were living in Antioch with the leaders of the Antioch church. It was a time when Antioch church was well settled. Thanks to Paul and Barnabas' devotions, the Antioch church went through a great revival. They had not only successfully completed their first mission trip, but they had also completely resolved the issue of circumcision for the Gentile believers, which had at one time rocked the church. For Paul personally, the pastor of Antioch Church, it was a time he could count on living a stable and a settled life, more than at any other time. But for Paul, who believed in God, a comfortable life was not, in and of itself, the purpose of his life. Not long after, Paul proposed to Barnabas that they should go visit the cities that they had delivered the gospel during their first mission trip. This was to meet those who had accepted the gospel from them during the first mission trip and to encourage their faith and, if possible, to get additional opportunities to spread the word. At the time, a mission trip would mean having to travel on foot and on ships. To go on such a trip basically amounted to offering oneself up to a lot of hardships. The reason that Paul wanted to voluntarily give up what he was entitled to enjoy, his rights, and to go and try to go on the second mission trip was because he precisely knew the will of God who had saved him, who was once a violent man. God has saved him not only so that he could enjoy the kingdom of God by himself, but to spread his kingdom to as many people as possible. According to chapter 13 of Acts, Paul and Barnabas, the co-pastors of the Antioch church, went on the first mission trip according to the instruction of the Holy Spirit. But the Paul had wanted to go on the second mission trip, wholly out of his will. And from this, we are able to know what passionate faith life that Paul led in trying to carry out the will of God who had saved him. Now, verse 37 tells us of Barnabas' reaction to Paul's proposal. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. Now, Barnabas immediately responded by, "Let's take John, called Mark." Barnabas had, in fact, wholly agreed to Paul's proposal to go on the second mission trip. It shows that Barnabas, too, was willing to give up the comfortable life that he could enjoy Antioch in order to live as a pathway for God. In this respect, Paul and Barnabas were great Christians. And the fact that they made up a dream team as they traveled the way of evangelists together was not a mere coincidence, but what a destined outcome. Barnabas, who agreed to Paul's proposal, proposed that they bring Mark, called John, with them. According to chapter 4:10 of the Colossians, of the Korean version of the Bible we are using, young man Mark is introduced to us as a nephew of Barnabas, but the Greek word anepsios actually means a younger cousin. Barnabas' younger cousin, Mark, had accompanied Paul and Barnabas as a helper during the first mission trip. Accordingly, if Paul and Barnabas were to take Mark on the second mission trip, the first mission team would come together again. Let's take a look at verse 38. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. Paul objected to Barnabas' proposal to take Mark with them. This was because Mark had went back home without the permission of the team at the beginning of the first mission trip. Paul had made up his mind that it was not right to bring a young man who had been irresponsible, particularly in carrying out God's work and not merely men's work. And these two had different thoughts about the young man, Mark, but it seems to us that the difference was not something significant, something that could easily be overcome. But actually, things proceeded in a completely different direction. In the Greek original, the act of Barnabas proposing to bring Mark and the act of Paul objecting for the reason that it was not appropriate to do so are both recorded in the imperfect tense. It was said that the use of imperfect tense signifies a circumstance that repeats itself. In other words, it conveys to us that Barnabas repeatedly argued with Paul to bring Mark, and Paul also repeatedly objected to it by saying that it was not right to do so. Let's take a look at verse 12. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. The text tells us that Paul and Barnabas each argued his position, and it describes the situation as them having a sharp disagreement. In the Greek original, though, the adjective sharp does not appear. And the word disagreement in our Bible is a translation of the Greek word praxemos, which means argument or discord. Paul and Barnabas had each stuck to his position without giving in and argued, but they failed to agree on this issue to the very end. And moreover, they ended up parting company. In other words, they turned away from each other. Now, today's text, which tells us of this event, really perplexes us. Who are Barnabas and Paul after all? They were great Christians who belonged to the leaders of the early Christian church 2,000 years ago. They were the leaders of the Antioch Church, which was the first Gentile church to be founded on a Gentile territory in the 2,000 years of history of the church. They were the evangelists to go on the first mission trip to the Mediterranean world in 2,000 years of the history of Christianity. During the first mission trip, which is assumed to have taken a minimum of 1 year to maximum of 2 years, they were co-workers who demonstrated unassailable teamwork in midst of all kinds of external challenges and false plots. They were colleagues who defended the Antioch Church from the misleading teachings of the false teachers who argued that Gentile Christians could never be saved unless they received circumcision pursuant to the law. They were true Christians who were willing to abandon the comfortable life guaranteed in Antioch to live as pathways of God, who spread the kingdom of God to as many people as possible and try to go on the second mission trip. And if so, isn't it only right that they should have been able to work out the differences in their thinking? If there were people who voluntarily gave up their rights and entitlements to live as God's pathways, shouldn't one of them between the two have conceded on his position? But neither of the two gave in. And to the end, they argued their position and ended up going separate ways. Now, how are we to accept this happening, which is very difficult to understand? Now, I have said earlier that each word in the Bible, each story in the Bible is imbued with meaning. As long as it is recorded in the Bible, each word, each verse is bound to have a message that God is trying to convey to us. And if so, what understanding are we to gain from today's text that tells us Paul and Barnabas, who were great co-workers, argued without giving up, giving in, and ended up parting their ways? Are we to understand that Christians, too, can get into arguments and go separate ways and thereby justify ourselves in clashing with others here and there and leaving them behind due to our faults or our difficult personalities? The Greek word paroxysmos, which was used in verse 38 as meaning argument, debate, or disagreement, was used only two places in the Bible, in today's text and in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. But in chapter 10 of Hebrews, this word is used in a completely different way, completely different from the meaning with which it is used in today's text. In showing the way of faith as to how Christians who have received salvation in Jesus Christ are to walk with courage, Hebrews recommends, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. It says that Christians, in order to walk the way of faith, should look after one another and encourage and stimulate each other so that each can live a life of love and doing good. Here the word encourage, used in this verse, is the word paroxysmos. The word paroxysmos was used in today's verse with the meaning of argument and debate, while it was used with the meaning of encourage and to spur on in Hebrews chapter 10, 24. If this is the case, then today's text, which tells us that they parted company, could also be construed to mean that they parted ways, encouraging the other. So why does the word paroxysmos, which have simultaneously have conflicting meanings such as debate and argument, and encourage and to spur on, and if today's verse that has such a sharp disagreement that they parted company could also mean that they parted ways encouraging one another, then how are we to understand and accept this? And the answer to the above questions can be found in how the gods work proceeded thereafter. Let's take a look at verses 39 to 41. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. After Paul and Barnabas parted ways, Barnabas headed to Cyprus accompanied by Mark on a ship. The intended purpose of the second mission trip was to revisit each of the cities where the gospel was delivered during the first mission trip. This is why Barnabas headed to Cyprus, which was his hometown, and also the first stop of the first mission trip. Accordingly, Paul, who parted ways with Barnabas, had to change his second mission trip's itinerary. So long as he decided to part ways with Barnabas, he couldn't just follow Barnabas to Cyprus. So Paul, accompanied by Silas, went up north, the opposite direction from Barnabas, who were headed southwest, and strengthened the churches in Syria and Cilicia. And Paul wanted to preach the gospel in Asia Minor, what is now Turkey, a peninsula. But the Holy Spirit each time blocked Paul. Now Paul wanted to preach the gospel in different parts of Asia Minor, but his plans kept getting blocked by the Holy Spirit. And the following thing happened when Paul went to Troas. Now, Troas was a harbor located at the western end of Asia Minor Peninsula, a harbor which faced the European continent across the sea. The Troas was the harbor at the very western end of the Asia Minor, so to speak. The night that Paul arrived at Troas, he comes to see a vision. The vision was about a Macedonian person asking Paul to come to Macedonia and to help them. Now, Macedonia belonged to the European continent. And so in Paul's vision, a European person had asked Paul, an Asian, for help. Now, Paul did not treat the vision just simply as a vision, a dream. He took it as a command from God to deliver the gospel to the Europeans. Paul immediately got on a boat and headed to Europe, and he went all over. He went all over the Balkan Peninsula, including Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, and Corinth, and made countless people receive the grace of God's salvation. This was not originally in Paul's plans. The reason that Paul wanted to undertake the second mission trip in the beginning was to revisit the cities where gospel was preached before during the first mission trip. Now, to Paul, who was an Asian, Europeans were not within his consideration initially. The reason that Paul had come to visit the European continent in order to deliver the gospel of God to Europeans, if we trace back its origin, had to do with his parting with Barnabas. If he had not parted with Barnabas at that time, Paul would have simply visited the cities of the first mission trip, and that would have been it. And this was not all. Because Paul had went as far as Balkan Peninsula of European continent, his third mission trip also came to be the Balkan Peninsula. And because Paul had went on to Europe during the second and the third mission trip, Paul was able to confirm in Ephesus that the final destination where he was to offer his life was the heart and the capital of the Roman Empire, Rome. And in the last mission trip of his life, he went on to Rome. And heroically died as a martyr for the sake of the Lord to become the cornerstone for the Christianization of Rome. The starting point of such amazing providence of God also lay with the parting of Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas taking leave of each other was not a parting in the negative sense, the kind we often see and experience in this world. And so during the third mission trip, Paul testified as follows in Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, a letter he wrote to Corinthians, which he recorded while he was in Ephesus. Or is it only I and Barnabas who lack the right to not work for a living? Now, right not to work means the right not to labor. In other words, the right to receive living expenses from believers. As I said 2 weeks ago, at the time, evangelists had the right to receive, no matter where they went, to receive living expenses from the believers who were in the mission field. But Paul, in order not to damage the gospel, voluntarily gave up that right, made his living from making tents, and delivered the gospel with his own money. Paul, mentioning this to Corinthian believers, pointed to Barnabas as an example. Paul had affirmed that Barnabas also had given up his rights and entitlements in order to be used as the true pathway of God. This testimony of Paul tells us that Paul and Barnabas, although they may have parted in today's text, were still in a collegial relationship in which they trusted each other. If this is so, then we can understand the true meaning of today's text, which tells us about the disagreement, in other words, the debate and parting that took place between Paul and Barnabas over the issue of bringing Mark. Now, faced with Paul's testimony in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, which reveals that he was still in a co-worker relationship with Barnabas. We can decide to understand it as Paul and Barnabas, who had a disagreement and went separate ways, later made up, like most biblical scholars do. But weren't Paul and Barnabas great Christians who voluntarily gave up their entitlements and rights in order to live a pathway of God? And moreover, they had experienced with their entire beings as how unfathomably God worked using them as his instruments during the first mission trip. They had confirmed that it was God who led their ways when they went on the mission field, and it was God who worked through them. And furthermore, if the Greek word paroxysmos, which was used in verse 39, could be translated as arguments and debate, but also at the same time as encouragement and stimulation at the same time. If this is true, if this is true, then we are able to understand a deeper meaning behind today's text, which it tells us about their disagreement over Mark and their parting. Now, on the issue of whether to bring Mark or not, Paul and Barnabas definitely held different opinions. The difference between Paul's position, that since they were to undertake God's work and not merely men's work, they could not bring Mark, who proved to be irresponsible. And Barnabas' position, who wanted to give Mark another chance, could not be narrowed. Paul and Barnabas, repeating their arguments, realized that they could not It wasn't the case that Paul and Barnabas, while they were repeating their arguments, tried to overpower the other or convince the other of his position. They confirmed that they each had different thoughts in the Lord, that it was not a matter of righteousness and unrighteousness, good or evil, where either I was right or you were wrong, but that even given that differences, the will of God, the Lord will be fulfilled. And so they parted not with a critical heart that deemed the other to be stubborn and unreasonable, wishing never to see the other again, but parted company while encouraging the other. They trusted that God would fulfill his mysterious providence through their parting. As a result, due to their partings, the will of God, which they could not imagine, who will renew the European continent, the Roman Empire, with the gospel, came to fruition in human history. And so it was possible for Paul to reveal through 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, that he and Barnabas were still in co-worker relationship. This testimony would not have been possible unless they paroxysmos, they encouraged each other as they parted in believing God's providence. And this is not all. When Paul, who had become imprisoned in Rome during his last years, heard the news that Mark was no longer an irresponsible person but had become the most responsible worker working for the gospel, he called Mark to Rome and made him his co-worker. The reason that Paul refused to bring irresponsible Mark on the second mission trip was not to abandon Mark but to give him the stimulation, paroxysmos, to give him the encouragement so that he could stand rightly as a responsible worker. And so Mark became one of the co-workers on whom Paul relied on the most during his last year. During this 1 year, we will face and meet numerous people. Among them, there will be people whom we have been known for a long time, and people we will be meeting for the first time. And of course, we must confront those who commit unrighteous acts without any burden on their conscience, those who commit evil without hesitation and cause harm to other people to the end. But we should not commit the foolishness of ignoring or abandoning a person just because that person thinks differently from us or made a mistake once. This is because such persons are also God's people whom he loves. If we are to have heated disagreements with someone, it should be so not to overpower him or her, but to ultimately encourage the person who is different from me. And to discover God's will in such person. If we are to rebuke someone for his or her mistakes, we should do so not to criticize or judge the person, but to provide that person with a positive stimulation for the person to stand upright. And this applies to parents, to children, families, and colleagues, to everyone. When we live in such a way, then during this upcoming 1 year, God's providence, which we cannot even imagine, will be fulfilled. Later, when we stand before God, what God will count as his assets from our lives are not the possessions that we have, but the people who are given to us in the Lord and with whom we manage to have a right relationship. Let us pray. Dear Lord, there are 7 billion people in this world. Even so, I had the arrogance of thinking that God loves me the most out of that 7 billion people. There were also times that I indulged in prideful thinking that God works only through me among so many numerous people. And so I have met countless people in my life, but it is difficult to find someone who has remained next to me as my true co-worker in life. Thank you for reminding me that if I continue to live this way, as was the case before, I will not be used. I cannot be used as your tool to fulfill your mysterious providence in this age. Allow me to confront those who cause unrighteousness and evil to the end with courage. But help me not to repeat the foolishness of ignoring or abandoning a person for the reason that they think differently from me or that they made a mistake. If I am to have a heated argument with others, passionate arguments with others, may it be not to deny or overpower the other, but to find God's will in that other person, to encourage the other person. If I am to rebuke another for a mistake, may it be not so to criticize or judge that person, but in order to provide them as constructive stimulation for them with love, so that the person would not make the same mistake. If I am to part company with someone, may it not be to never see them again, but to entrust that person and myself simultaneously to the providence of God. And so through our meetings with all those we will be meeting this year, may God's unfathomable providence come to a beautiful fruition in our lives. May we live on as Paul and Barnabas of this age, who do not forget that the assets that God counts in our lives are not the material possessions in our pockets, but the people who are given to us in the Lord and with whom we manage to have a right relationships. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.